SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour three, holiday Monday, and it's a holiday at Keeneland if you're Tim Gleishaw, who started out the meet on Friday with a win in the nightcap that frankly cost me the pick four. And lit up the tote board and then came back on Saturday with a repeat win from Buchero in the Woodford Stake, and the Turf Sprinter tough as nails. And there's really only one way to celebrate this appearance by Tim Gleishaw, and we have to go to Bloomington for it. Casey, play in Tim Gleishaw. Indiana, we're all for you. Tim, sing along. Come on.
I still don't know the word.
I would hope so. Well, let me tell you, I learned the words by watching Breaking Away 50 times.
Yep.
Before the Little Five.
Yep, that was a good movie.
Well, there it is, the Hoosier fight song. Indiana, we're all for you, and we're all for Tim Gleishaw, because there's a few people I've got a saying, when so-and-so wins, we all win, and Scooter Dickey, Tim Gleishaw, and you win, and everybody, the internet lights up, Tim. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Tim, this horse has really, I mean, he's been just consistent and hard-hitting, and you know these turf sprints are always a war. Talk about going into the Woodford Saturday and trying for the repeat.
Well, we've had a plan mapped out for him, and really done it to a T. Obviously, there's some things in there we wish it would have gone better. He's sort of a hard luck horse. We got in a little trouble in the ran a really good race in the Shakertown, Bound for Nowhere just ran lights out that day. We ran a winning race, Bound for Nowhere just freaked that day. And then we come to Churchill and run in a race at Churchill that we get bumped at the top of the stretch. But I think we're right there. I don't know, we beat Will Call if we don't, but I guarantee you we're right there if we don't get bumped at the top of the stretch. And then, we went to England and he ran very respectably there, running on no medication or no anything. And in a straight line for the first time. So then the Parks race, he just got in trouble. Again, he just got checked and got too far back, and he still made, what would have been a winning run had he not gotten in that trouble, at least it's our belief. Obviously, we're a little bit biased. But this time of year, he just always seems to get good. And, I think that his showing last year in the race obviously was affected in the tote board, and we were very confident going into the race, as confident as you can be in a turf sprint. You just need a trip, and Fernando gave him an absolute great ride. It was pretty much, a repeat of the year, race the year before, where he sat, five lengths off the lead and then came running at the end, and we just couldn't be happier. I think he's probably stamped himself as one of the top turf sprinters in the United States, so. We don't need to go on with the underdog story anymore, though, he is an Indiana bred, so we're always going to get that, and we sort of embrace that, but I think he has stamped himself that he is, one of the top turf sprinters in the country now, and we just couldn't be happier for him. He's a very lovable horse. I'm the only one in the barn that he ever bites, because we play with each other all the time, but everybody else, he's a colt, and he doesn't act like one. Everybody loves him. So it was very special for us to be able to do this. You know, not many horses have won that race 2 years in a row, and we're thrilled to be on that list.
Well, you also set up for, you know, opportunity at Churchill as well, and this is, you know, this has really been a great story. He's, you know, he's now up to 11 wins. He's, what, 80 or 70,000 away from $1 million in earnings. How does that stack up among Indiana breds for earnings?
He became the all-time Indiana bred money leader with the win at Keeneland, which is that's important to me. I mean, I know in horse racing world, it probably doesn't sound that important, but we used to have a horse named Unreachable Star who had
sure.
the all-time lead until Lady Foghorn, a really nice mare of Tony Granite's, passed him last year. It was sort of special to me to get that place back, being from Indiana and, you know, having a string up there as well. And so that's very, very, you know, rewarding. It is really, you know, we still have not had in our barn a horse make over $1 million. You know, Bullard was very, very close when he had his accident. And so it would be nothing, you know, but chocolate on the cake for him to have a really good run at the Breeders' Cup and go over $1 million, and he'd be the first, obviously, Indiana bred to do that by default, and be our first for a barn to have a earner of over $1 million, and it just happens to be my birthday, too, so it would be lovely. We've had a discussion, he and I, about a couple weeks ago about what he needs to do to give me my birthday present. So.
I love it. And then fold in Iron Horse in all of this, too, because it's for them, it's a magical ride.
Yeah, they're a bunch of great people. They're you know, good people to train for. They're involved in a lot of the decision making, though, you know, the day to day stuff they leave up to me. And we've, you know, just tried to do what we think is best for the horse, you know, and you know there's been a push on to go, you know, try to run internationally, which we didn't back away from. We did, and it was a great experience. You know, who knows if we'll ever get to do it again. And I think he ran respectably over there, and you know, dealing with Harlan on a pretty much daily basis, he always calls and checks on how the horse is, and you know, we spare no expense on therapy for him. You know, I mean, he goes to the cold water spa, he gets acupuncture, you know, all the stuff that human athletes are getting, he's getting too, because, you know, I mean, that's you know, a difference of maybe a half a length here or there, and in these kind of races, as you just saw on Saturday, that makes a difference. So it's really nice to have owners that'll you know, financially let you do the what's best for your horse, and you know, it's just a thrill. Couldn't be more thankful for being able to have this horse for the last few years.
The repeat in the Woodford is also notable for Fernando de la Cruz, who you mentioned, and de la Cruz got back aboard here. These are the only two graded stake wins of his very nice career. And it's funny because earlier today, in the conversation I had with Ben Colebrook, we spent some time and acknowledged what a big win it was when it came to Nick's Go and Albin Jimenez, and Jimenez is not, it's actually a pretty appropriate comparison. 1,800 wins for De La Cruz, and these are his only two graded stake wins, and this was obviously the first graded stake grade one win for Albin Jimenez. And I thought the whole weekend, Tim, was actually notable for, you know, some of the, I don't want to call them second tier, but, you know, some of the journeyman riders that got big wins. And talk about De La Cruz.
Well, first of all, you'd mentioned Albin. Albin's a great rider as well. Albin's won a ton of races for us up at Indiana over the years. So I was very, you know, that's really great to see as well. This is, you know, Harlan and I had a discussion. This is Fernando's big horse. And there's probably nothing more important to him than this horse, as for, you know, a horse that he rides. And that means a lot, you know. I've had in my career many top-level jocks win races for me. Maybe not the New York guys. They've always given me good rides. I'm not saying that. But, you know, the Corey Lannerys and Brian Hernandezes and those guys of the world around here and in my circles that I go in, they won plenty of stakes for me and everything else. But, you know, Fernando was always on this horse in Indiana when he would win his stakes up at Indiana. Has never ridden a bad race on him. And he has a ton of confidence in him. And I think that that gives, you know, the horse confidence as well. And you know, it's very, very nice to see that you know, a rider like you said, I don't know exactly what term we should use, because second tier is a little degrading, because they're but you know, rides at the smaller tracks, you know, and that's taking nothing away against Oaklawn, where he had a great meet last year, but you know, the Keenelands is not where those guys usually are riding horses and winning those kinds of races. And it's just really, really nice to see. It all goes back to they don't get the opportunities that a lot of the top riders get. It's the same way with us trainers. You know, if we got, not to mention names, you know who the top trainers in the country are. If we got those horses, we would do, many of us would do the same things with them that those trainers do. But we just don't get those opportunities. We get one or two Bullard Alley or Buqueros. Those other trainers get 50 of those a year. And it's the same way with riders. If you're getting put on those horses, you're going to win those kind of races. When you're not getting put on those kind of horses, it's a little tough to win. So those kind of races. So it's good to see guys like this past weekend take advantage of those situations and prove that they can ride with the big boys of the world.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, you sit in a good spot, excuse me, and having a turf sprinter that is uniquely suited to the shorter version of a turf sprint. You know, the sharp five and a half type sprinter that, you know, that can sit off and finish, certainly feels, Tim, like he's as likely as anybody for success at Churchill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's obviously now his home track, and he's run two really good races on the surface here. The surface this September was played a bit soft, even when it was firm, and it's always that way in November here. You know, I can't speak for other horses, but just as a handicapper, I think that, you know, we would assume that the California horses prefer a firmer surface. And they're probably not going to get that here. You know, I don't know what Europeans are coming. You know, this surface will probably suit them. You know, it's just a matter of, last year I thought he ran an absolutely wonderful race in the Breeders' Cup, and we just possibly got stuck behind horses and got in a little bit of trouble, or maybe we're right there and you know, our placing, we hit the top three or possibly even have a chance to win. But again, it's just all about the trip, and, you know, we'll see who shows up. We know that we're going to be there, and all we can do is ask for a clean trip for him, and if he gets that, I mean, he'll be right there. Again, I said in an interview at Keeneland after the race, I don't know if right there gets us fourth again. We can get speed of length. I don't know if right there means that we win by a head, but if he has an opportunity to run at them in the top of the stretch and doesn't get any interference, and I mean, I think that he'll definitely be, he'll be right there. I mean, I think he's proved that every time that he gets a chance, a free chance to run, that he's always in contention, and we don't expect any different. And it will be nice, as nice as it is to travel all these places with him, it will be nice to run one of these kind of races, and all we have to do is you know, walk from our stall here.
Absolutely.
So, I think that I don't know how much that takes out of a horse. You know, I you know, it didn't seem to take much of him out to going to England and going over there and running, making no excuses for traveling, but there is some benefit to running on your home course and at your home track. And so we're definitely looking forward to it. You know, there will be a lot of people here that'll be cheering for us. He has a pretty big fan club, I mean, of any horse that I've ever trained. I mean, Bullard as well. I mean, you know, they were, again, not to go back to it, but they're both sort of underdog stories, and because of the purchase prices and whatnot. But him also being an Indiana bred, and we're so close to Indiana here, there's a lot of, I answered, I think, 450 text messages after the race. I mean, I was still answering text messages 2 hours after the race at Keeneland. So, he has a pretty big fan club, and a lot of those people will, I'm sure, try to be down here, and, where they couldn't get to Del Mar, or they can't get to Santa Anita or Belmont or wherever else the Breeders' Cup has been. You know what I mean? So
sure.
It'll be a lot of fun, and we think that we have definitely one of the horses to beat, and, we'll just have to see how everything plays out.
Well, Buchero repeats in the Woodford, and on Friday, ahead of it, the 54-1 winner. You mentioned Bullard's Alley, and here's Wayne Spalding, one of the two partners, and the win by Fun Patty pays $110.60. And I suppose the barn might have been some celebration going on here. This, I hope, some people were financially rewarded by the upset.
Well, the wonderful handicapping trainer missed the superfecta with the fourth place horse, but would have made payroll for a few months. But anyway. Yeah, we had the groom and some other people bet a little bit on him and on her, and that was great. And just to let you know how this training thing works, our idea was that, he had gotten tired on the lead at Churchill, but we had drew the 12-hole, horrible post position. Let's just send her to the lead and see how long we can last. And then, of course, she got in a little bit of trouble with the break and was back in dead last and came and ran and passed everybody. So, it made us look really smart, and if I wouldn't be telling you the truth, I would tell you that was the plan, but it wasn't the plan, and Edgar just rode a really, really, really nice race and basically kept her out of trouble, and she's ran really, really game. It's another purchase that Wayne made at the Ocala sale for a modest price, and, it looks like she might be okay. We'll have to see how we're... Regardless of how our numbers come back, it's a great win for him and for us and for the barn. But we'll see our numbers come back and see where we go from here. There's an allowance option at the end of Keeneland, an allowance option at the end of Churchill, and it seems like she likes a softer surface. So hopefully, she'll like a surface like down in New Orleans and some places. It she doesn't seem to like the harder kind of turf tracks. So we'll see. But I mean, couldn't be happier with her. Obviously, it was unexpected at 54-1, though I will add that, I don't think she should have been 54-1. I think a lot of that was the attributed to her post position. I think somebody told me at Keeneland when I was over there the next day for Buchero's race that was like the second horse in the last 5 years or something that had won on the from the 12-hole on the Keeneland turf going a route of ground. So, I think that played a lot into it. But regardless, she should have been a long shot. I just don't know that she should have paid $110. So, and a little bit odd, I told Ben Huffman after the race, I said, so am I the first trainer in Keeneland history that's paid $110 one day and then won a graded stake with a favorite the next? And I told him he'd have to research that for me.
Well, he'll come up with it, or I leave it to Ben. You mentioned Edgar, and we should note Edgar Morales, and he still has got the bug. Can't be for much longer, though.
No, I believe it's maybe a couple weeks, something like that.
Yeah, it feels like he's
ridden a lot for us recently, and always gives us, always. Yeah, 90% of the time gives us very, very good rides. I mean, he's gotten a couple horses in trouble. That's probably why that's part of using a bug boy, But, the number one thing is he always tries. He tries as hard as he can on your horses. And, he's done a really good job on the ones that we've put him on. And couldn't be happier with the ride he gave Fun Patty. I mean, he rode her very, very confidently. And about the 3/8 pole when he started passing, like, two and three horses at a time, I thought, look, we have a chance here. And I was just hoping that she wouldn't get tired from that wide move around the turn. But in the end, that's what won her the race, is, staying out of trouble and everything else. So everything just worked out. Every once in a while, you have weekends like this, not too often, especially us with a smaller stable. But, obviously couldn't be happier about the way the weekend turned out. So, now we have a few more in at Keeneland, have one in Thursday, Faith Healer, a nice horse of ours that I like, and we'll try to win a couple more, few more at Keeneland, and then, you know, start concentrating on getting Bucaro ready for the Breeders' Cup here. So, going to be a busy time for us.
Well, and got to be happy in that shed row and the Gleishaw barn that we have a lot of fun with. And, of course, whether it's your man, John Nichols, that loves giving you the business, happy to see you win like this, Tim. And that was a great way to start the fall season at Keeneland, and the win Friday, and then following up with Bucaro, inching closer to $1 million in earnings, and won't take much at the Breeders' Cup to put him over the seven-figure mark. So continued success. Look forward to seeing you at Churchill, and thanks, as always, for the visit.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, and we'll look forward to seeing you here.
Tim Gleishaw, you can follow Tim, T-G-L-Y, keeps it simple, T-Gly, at Twitter. And especially if you're an Indiana fan, he's your man. Look at him. Look at him there in that red IU sweatshirt on his profile. I love it. Tim Gleishaw. And, of course, whenever there's a Gleishaw appearance, a Tom Drury appearance can't be too far behind. So the onus is on Drury now to win a big race at Keeneland. We'll take a break, come back. We're going to catch up before we get to Mike Beer, and also ahead of Garrett O'Rourke. Richard Baltus has promised. He's next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
If I don't love you, baby, bricks ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Let's go! get into it. Listen.
All around the world, I'd rather be a fly. I'd lie on my baby, stay with my woman till I die. With a toothpick in my hand, I'd dig a 10-foot ditch and run off through the jungle, fighting lions with the switch. Because you know I love. And Mona Lisa was a man.
We're back at the races, 20 plus into hour three on the busy Monday recap. And there's plenty of good racing today as well, of course, New York and California, especially. Richard Baltus has come east a few different times, and most notably with Next Shares, and the performance at Kentucky Downs then set him up for a potential run at Keeneland. And boy, everybody loves when a plan comes together. Wow. The Shadwell, the grade one, and from inside and under Tyler Gaffleone, absolutely perfect ride, perfect trip. Everything comes together. 23-1. Next Shares wins the grade one. Richard Baltus joins us. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Richard, we've talked about him, and it just seems like he's one of these horses. You get to 5 years of age, he is a gelding, but one of these horses that just, you know, with maturity and with experience and things just going better and better for him. Talk about Saturday's performance.
Well, yeah, he ran a big race. He's been training really well. He's always trained well. You know, he's a little unlucky in California in that Kilroy when he ran second, but I thought he needed to be farther back than he was yesterday or Saturday. But you know, it's a different courses over there in the East Coast. You get a lot more rain. Maybe he likes a little more cut in the ground, where, you know, he seems like the surface really, he really thrived at Kentucky Downs and Keeneland. We got rain on Thursday. I had a lot of rain on Thursday at Keeneland, and track was yielding on Friday, and then it was drying out, and ended up being a good turf course on Saturday. So I think the horse liked the surface too, on top of that he was doing super, you know. So he got a great ride from Tyler. I thought he was a little close in the beginning, but he wasn't. He said the horse is doing it so easy. And then, you know, he was the best. He was much the best, and we're so grateful that we got the W.
Well, it sets you up to be a major player at Churchill. And, of course, both Churchill and Keeneland, the sand-based courses, and the footing, very key. I mean, this is his career best. Figure-wise, it's going to end up being his career best on every scale.
Yeah. I mean, the race he ran at Kentucky Downs was his best race. And this was 106 by the last one. So, you know, he beat some pretty good horses in there. He did it pretty handily. So, you know, the Breeders' Cup it was a win and you're in race, and the horse came back fine. So we're going to take a shot.
I can't blame you for that by any means. I suppose, does Tyler get the call back? Because he does, huh?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah, I don't like to take riders off that win. I mean, they take off once in a while because they have previous engagements. I think that was what happened with Van Dyke. He had to ride some horse out here for Bob Baffert, and I don't know. He maybe couldn't have said no, but, you know. Man, so anyway, I'm leaving Tyler on the horse.
Well, and nothing wrong with Gaffleone at all. This was also a huge mutual situation, because Great Wide Open for Connor Murphy happened also to be coming out of a good performance at Kentucky Downs. And, you know, running over that course, Richard, the up and down, and, you know, it invariably points to horses that are, you know, that are very nimble and you know, that can adjust the situations and have both stamina and speed.
Yeah. The guy that was running Kentucky Downs was telling me that the horses really run good off that track after they run there, and I didn't understand what he was talking about. But
You do now.
I was like, whatever. Yeah, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but you know, maybe he knows more than I do. I mean, he's seen more races. You know, you've seen the horses that have run there, and you've seen the horses that have come back. And
sure,
you know. So anyway, yeah. I mean, obviously, it was right.
I love it. I love it.
Who knows? Well, you know, I'm just really, really happy that we won that. You know, that was a big race for us, and the barn, and you know, when you're in the Breeders' Cup, and when the horse comes back good, and you know, thank you. You know, it means a lot.
No doubt. And he actually probably lifted your spirits, too, because the disastrous start for Insta Irma in the First Lady. I mean, Tyler's lucky he didn't fall off the way she went to her nose.
Yeah, that was really unfortunate. I mean, she was in the one hole, she was sitting in there, and I guess she was acting up a little bit. Something happened with the gate crew where, I don't know, they wanted to try, you know how it is, and they all get in there, and then they pop the latch, and the horse wasn't ready, and she actually leaped out of there, and she went to both knees, and they have some pretty incredible pictures of her. I mean, both of her knees were on the turf, and her nose was on the turf. I mean, and for her to recover and run as good as she did, you know, I think she only got beat 3.5 lengths. That was a really good performance. You know, you never know what could have happened if she had broke well, so. But actually, she looks okay the last couple of days. So,
good.
I think we dodged a bullet, and thank God she's okay.
Exactly. Nice trip to Keeneland. Nevertheless, the win in the Shadwell, and get ready. Do you keep? What do you do about keeping him? Do you bring him home, or do you keep him out there?
No. He's staying there. Yeah.
Good.
I have one of my assistants, Amy Dawson. She's been in the business.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this. That's right.
Yeah, she's taking care of the horses over there, and you know, she only has the two, and you know, so she's, you know, the horses are staying there. They're doing well. You know, they don't have to move. They don't need to fly. You know, and it's been working. So,
absolutely.
Hey, you know what? I've shipped a lot of horses, and yeah, I think it's. Has something to say about them staying there. I don't know. I you know, a lot of people go back and forth, but you know, I mean, I think it's. I wouldn't change anything at this point.
Well, and don't see why he won't be very much worthy of consideration. We just talked a little earlier. I was talking to John DeSantis, and made the point that horses like him that get good at this time of year, they have won their share of Breeders' Cup miles. And, mm-hmm. you know, Singletary and Miesa Approval, and you know, there's no shortage of horses like this that got right at the right time that beat the Euros and beat everybody else.
Well, that would be incredible. So, you know, hey... I always tell people I've been in a few Breeders' Cup, and Breeders' Cup is like a grade one times three. You know, it's very tough horse race to win. So, you know, they don't come along very often, and, you know, it's very hard to win a Breeders' Cup race. So, you know, they're the best horses in all the world, you know, coming over here.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah, it's just I think that we have a legitimate shot if the horse continues to do well. And, yeah, like you said, he's peaking at the right time, so who knows? You know?
Exactly right. And, of course, in recent years, horses like Big Macher and I can think of who else? Who else have you brought the last couple of years?
Oh, the Breeders' Cup. Well, I had a two-year-old filly I ran over there against Songbird, Forever Darling.
Oh, yeah.
She ran in the juvenile fillies. And she ended up winning a grade two. We sold her to the Japanese for a ton of money, but you know, I think it's timing and, you know, but to bring over a legitimate horse, and I didn't think the horse should have been 26-1 the other day. I mean, my owners were, I don't bet, so, but my owners do, and they had a couple good wagers on the horse, so, you know, kudos to them.
Well, and they've got to be excited, of course, Mike and Jules, Ivorone and partners, they will be at the Breeders' Cup with bells on, Richard.
Oh yeah, Mike's great. Mike,
you know, he always wanted to bring this horse back east, and he bought into the horse. He saw something too in the horse, you know, before he won. And we had that we were like on the fence with the race at Del Mar, but you know, then it was like, let's try him somewhere else, Kentucky Downs. And you know, Mike, he had a good idea, and you know, got to give him a little credit for buying into the horse and believing in the horse.
Well, in addition to the win Saturday, second yesterday in the nightcap with Quebec, that was in the swing time, and couldn't catch the Surin wire-to-wire winner. Today, a quick let's look ahead quickly to the stakes today, because you're in both the Surfer Girl and in the Zuma Beach. And, in fact, when I see the name Lady Prance-a-Lot, that makes me think, was it last year, Madam Prance-a-Lot?
Madam Dance-a-Lot, yeah. They're both
Dance-a-Lot.
They're both by Sir Prance-a-Lot. Sir Prance-a-Lot's a sire from Europe.
Yep.
I think he stands in Ireland. And, Madam Dance-a-Lot really turned out to be a good horse. And this one here, she is, she surprised us a little bit when she ran the other day. But she's continued to train really well, so. You know, I know that horse at Proctor is very, very good, and we'll see. I think my filly needs one run from behind, and hopefully, the way the turf was playing yesterday, I don't know how far back you need to be, but who knows? You know?
Why not?
Who knows? I think she's going to run well.
Joe Talamo aboard. You were second to Summering in the Del Mar Juvenile Filly Turf. And a couple of other interesting horses in here. Callahan's got the second timer, My Sweet Babu, inside that is okay. Mm-hmm. And also that Miss Bigley, Keith DeSormo for Big Chief, I think is this is a good group. But I tell you what, Proctor's got his eyes on that surfboard, Richard. And
I think, you know, Proctor has probably got the right horse, you know, but that being said, it's still a horse race. You know?
Absolutely. How about the boys' race? Talk about Rijeka.
Oh, Rijeka, yeah. You know, he ran really big the first time, and, you know, he came back a little quick, or maybe ran him back too quick, but he was a little bit keen. He was a little too close to the pace, and you know, I think he's training really well. I'm hoping that he had a little bit of a bounce, you know, because sometimes they run good the first time from another country, and then they bounce a little bit the second time. But he needs to be taken back and covered up, and that's a pretty contentious race itself. But I think we have a legitimate shot in there too.
That's for Slam Dunk, and this is a Roderick O'Connor colt. There's a stallion. Sire's name I have not seen, and this 2-year-old making a third start, won at First Asking in its second first race in North America, second overall. Richard, things are going pretty well. You got to be delighted with the way the fall has started.
Yeah, you know, I just want to thank all my clients that have stuck by me and you know, guys that keep buying new horses and giving me chances. You know, a lot of these owners that I have, they find their own horses. You know, I don't have to present them to them all the time. And, you know, it's just a great thing that they give me a chance. And, you know, Slam Dunk is really had a good season. So they're real happy and, you know, Little Red Feather had a nice winner yesterday. You know, these syndicates and Abundanza, all the groups that I get lucky to train for. You know, so you know, things are going okay.
They're going great, and you know, we talked about a couple of wins maybe a month ago, and maybe a quick update on a couple potential other Breeders' Cup considerations. What's next for Gas Station Sushi off that Bev Lewis win at Los Al?
Yeah, she didn't come out of the race 100%, so I had to give her like another month and a half off. And, yeah, she's going to miss the Breeders' Cup, unfortunately. yeah, that was a tough blow, but that's you know, she's going to be okay. I think she'll be fine to race, you know, with a little time off again. But it's up to the owner's decision, and then she has a lot of good mare value as well. Hopefully they give her the time and we race her again.
How about opening weekend in the Unzip Me? You ran back that nice Ms. Bad Behavior, the Ontario bred, and ran well.
Yeah, I think she was just a little bit far back. I wanted her a little closer to the pace, but she came out of the race well. I don't actually know where we're running her next. There's some spots. There's some spots back east. There's a race here. It's coming back a little quick, but she's like flat mile is her best distance, and yeah, we're looking for a spot for her, but she's doing well.
And I do, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Delmar May, who a lot of people thought was going to be clever last week in the Chandelier, and she really never got involved.
No, you know, she got some dirt kicked in her face, and she had to check into the first turn, and, you know, it was her third race. I mean, we tried, and she came out of the race pretty good. It's just, you know, one of those things where she's not gonna develop right now. We're going to probably give her a couple months off and try to have her ready for the beginning of her three-year-old year. You know, so she's had her three starts, and ran two good ones, and she ran a clunker, but she's okay. And just going to think of the right thing to do is just give her a little freshening and get her ready for next year.
And how about, and since we're on the topic, how about Queen Blossom, too, who she had her backers last week?
Yeah. You know, Queen Blossom, she really needs like a mile and a half race. You know, these are Abbadanza horses, too, and they have a deal where they buy the horses and they race them for 1 year, and then they put them back right in the November sale and they buy more. So, you know, she's a grade three winner. She's going to probably go to the sale in, I think she's selling in Europe, at Tattersall's, along with Midnight Crossing. So they should get a good return on their investment, and hopefully they buy a couple nice horses this year.
Finally, Richard Baltus with us. And, Richard, you had an absolute resounding performance from Secret Spice. Some thoughts, yeah, about where that, I mean, that was eye-opening.
You know, yeah, it was. It was pretty crazy. I mean, I just pulled up the PP on her. She ran 102 buyer for a three-year-old filly. That's a pretty big number. And, you know, she was a horse that, you know, she had an AP Indy mare, and I thought she'd probably win in Del Mar when she ran long. She just made the lead maybe a little early, maybe she was a little short. But, yeah, she ran a huge race yesterday, and I think she won by 11.5. Got a big number, and she's come back well. So I don't want to run her back too quick because of that effort. You know, everybody gets excited, and, you know, they want to jump into the Breeders' Cup and all that stuff, but we'll see what's going to happen with her. But so far, I think, you know, maybe
the La Brea
towards the end of the year. The
La Brea
going 7/8. Yeah, that's a pretty good spot. That's a grade one. Yeah, so she you know, she really put a huge effort in yesterday, and
we'll see her in the La Brea.
Yeah, in the La Brea. The La Brea is probably good timing too.
That's the spot. With that, that's got to be as good a, I mean, other than the heavy heads. I mean, this was a mile, two turns, but a 102 buyer. She was, you know, she was bred to be a good horse.
Yeah, she's a street cat. She's got an APND mare, and, you know, she was always a little bit keen in the mornings before, and you know, was just trying to get her to relax to go the route of ground. And, yeah, my guys have done a great job with her, you know, my rider. And she really put in a big effort yesterday. We're very proud. Little Red Feather's really excited. And everything's going well.
they'd be excited if she ran fourth. Let's not kid ourselves. They're just excited, period. Billy's Billy's out of control. Richard, what a great weekend. Congratulations, and looking forward to seeing you in Louisville. Good luck today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having
not
me.
Not at all. Richard Baltus, and a lot of good things happening. And that, if you didn't see that from yesterday, Secret Spice, pull it up for Little Red Feather. And I was in the process of looking up the fig myself, and Richard already had done it. 102 buyer. Back after this, we'll close it out with a visit from Garrett O'Rourke and talk about an Enables win yesterday for Prince Khalid and the Judmont team. And we'll maybe get some insight. Garrett might have been on the phone with the Prince or with Teddy Grimthorpe and the whole Judmont brain trust. We'll see if we know anything more about the plans coming out of yesterday's ARC win. Garrett O'Rourke from Judmont next.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 10 minutes to close out what has been a busy Monday, and of course, off the opening weekend at Keeneland, and then all around the country, the Breeders' Cup Challenge races, and then yesterday at newly remodeled Longchamp, the ARC Day card, and the repeat in one of the world's great races. I'm sure in France they say the world's greatest race. It's certainly up there. And Enable, who John Gosden did all he could to cold water the upcoming performance, every interview leading up, well, she had the trouble and she's not 100%, but I think she'll run well, but we won't be surprised. And then all she did was go out and win a second ARC, putting her in rather elite company. Garrett O'Rourke, congratulations to the entire organization.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. It obviously was a very special performance, and Teddy Grimthorpe knows John better than anyone. They're very good friends for years, and he always tells me that when John really starts to downplay a horse coming into a race, Teddy starts feeling really good about a horse. So I think that it sounds like it's one of his courses when he's feeling good about one. He said it's not necessarily nearly as good a sign.
Well, this you know, I think everybody, if she had gotten caught, I mean, let's be honest. If Sea of Class catches her, nobody would have had anything negative to say. But, I mean, for her to only have the one prep and, have a very incomplete season, for her to win this, really, it says a lot about his training ability and about her as a racehorse herself.
Well, it does, and obviously it starts with the ability of the horse, but this year she did have the interrupted preparation, and John really, you know, she had to put her trust in John's ability as a horseman. He had about 6 to 8 weeks to get her ready for the prep race, and then 3 weeks into the ARC, and she did not have a day to spare, and he got her there, and then she obviously had to have the perfect trip, and in steps Frankie 2 years in a row, with just places her in the absolutely perfect spot, and he kicks at the right time. And even if she was a little bit rusty this year, you know, he had a timed to perfection to get her home. Fantastic performance, but a really, really fantastic filly. You know, it's so hard to win an ARC, and as you say, you get into very, very illustrious company when you start looking at the only horses to ever win two.
Well, there's also the potential for an ARC winner to come here and participate, and certainly those questions, they're not going to be answered today unless you were privy to something this morning that you can let us know. But what are your thoughts, and you know, from the boss on down, what's your feeling?
Well, the conversations that I had last week with Teddy indicated that everybody was ready to let her take her chance in the Breeders' Cup if she came out of the ARC in good fettle, and obviously that will the latter part of that will have to be answered in the next week to 10 days. If there's nothing negative, I think John is keen to try and bring her over here. I think it would be a fantastic draw. I mean, one of the great things I think about good things about having a filly as opposed to a colt, where you're worried, you don't have to worry about stallion value or whatever it's worth. It makes it easier to take a chance. But she's fresh. She's only had 2 starts this year, and you know, I think it would be a fantastic draw in the year that's in it as well, where you know the Breeders' Cup probably needs a marquee horse. And I think, you know, she obviously would bring a tremendous buzz to the Breeders' Cup. So hopefully she's in good enough fettle to for John to feel confident to bring her over here. And it'll be exciting for everybody, but especially for us at Judmont.
Well, and of course, earlier today, William Haggis declaring that Sea of Class was done for the season, so she's not coming, and she might have participated in the against the Phillies and Mares, but in the turf. But still, Nabel was already installed yesterday afternoon in the betting shops, basically as the turf favorite. So it feels like the cognoscenti that they feel like she's coming and will be tough to beat. And, you know, one thing, certainly, given the weather all week in Paris, Garrett, and the fact that the course was going to be on the firm side rather than on the softer side, and then there was just enough weather, it seems to have, you know, given a little cut. It feels like that could be very much the same kind of turf she gets at Churchill.
Well, you know, we've had the wettest fall in Kentucky that I ever remember. I've been here since 1986. So depending on what happens between here and the build and the run-up to the Breeders' Cup, it won't take much rain here to keep the ground in very good shape. So hopefully that will be at least good ground. It would be very surprising, I think, from here on in if the ground had ended up being firm at Breeders' Cup time. So she is just a good filly, and I think she can go on any ground. Obviously, ideally, just a little bit of given the ground might help her. But, you know, she proves that she has so much speed and pace to get out there. And then she gets that long stride going. I really don't think the ground will be a huge factor.
Well, we'll wait for that decision. Meanwhile, in the TCA at Keeneland on Saturday, don't want this to go unnoticed, Golden Mischief. And you've had some success in filly and mare sprints. Golden Mischief going forward for Brad Cox and the pink and green.
Yeah, that was a big kick, you know, when we started buying fillies like Paula Silver Lining. I mean, the goal was to try and find speed fillies for Arrogate. And so it's been fun going out and sourcing them. And this filly we bought, gave her to Brad to send, you know, to get down in the Oak Lawn circuit for starters. And she won impressively down there. And the only instruction was see if you can get some graded stakes into her. Didn't even specifically say a graded stakes win. Had a shot at the winning colors, and that didn't work out. Just had bad luck there. And in fairness to him, he shopped around. And, you know, when you start going to Mountaineer and Prairie Meadows, there we don't have our colors displayed there too often. And she put in tremendous performances there and built her confidence up. She's a really admirably tough and sound and honest filly. And for her, it's nice when a plan comes together, but you always feel it for the horse too when you know that they're trying so hard. And I really felt it was a very deserved success for her and for the work that Brad and Florent have put in, because he's really learned how to ride her perfectly too.
Well, a 94 buyer, and figure that she fits right into a rather, you know, rather mixed group. Baffert seems to have the key hand in the filly and mare sprint, but she'll be running out of her own stall. It feels like, you know, perfect scenario. You know, obviously, some of the other news that we can touch on. Hofburg, unfortunately, not gonna get a chance coming out toward the end of the year. Not gonna participate. The Elate situation, and there are some others that are kicking around. What about Projected for the turf?
We haven't considered that. You know, I need to have another chat with Chad about his, you know, what his future plans will be. We had actually entered him in the sale from a long time back, but I think if Prince Khaled approves it, we might just keep him and try and do the same with him again next year. It would probably take a lot of convincing to go and try him in the Breeders' Cup because of the depth probably of European horses that would come, but I think we'll have to sit and watch that. But I think we'd be very happy just bringing him back next year and running in all the same races that he performed admirably in this year, and had some bad luck this year. So with a bit of luck, I think we'll have more fun with him next year.
Well, and Forge out there, and as I mentioned, obviously the Mott horses, so it feels like next year you'll be well-positioned. There's been a good parade of young horses coming along as well, and we'll keep an eye on those. But right now, all eyes on what transpires with the big filly, and enable close tabs for news from Judmont on participation in the Breeders' Cup turf. Garrett, congratulations on a wonderful weekend for the organization, and look forward to seeing you in a few weeks. I saw you I saw you in Philadelphia and didn't get a chance to talk to you. But
yeah, I had to run out of there quickly with my tail between my legs.
Well, a couple of people ran out. Michael Dubb apparently ran out, too, after the Philly race was... this was big. Golden Mischief and Enable and the most envied organization in the game, Judmont Farms. Garrett, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Steve.
Always great. Garrett O'Rourke. And we didn't get to Mike Beer. I just apologize to Mike. It's a holiday Monday, so lots of good racing for you to participate in. It starts shortly, and we'll do more recapping tomorrow. The services, John and Jason, and much, much more. Andy Serling, and all kinds of good stuff. Good luck today if you're playing. Thank Ben Colebrook and Kenny McPeak and Richard Baltus and Tim Gleishaw and Garrett and Johnny D and Casey behind the glass. Thanks, everybody. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. I'll talk to you in the morning.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.